Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Second Chances at Life. Hi friends, welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Rebecca, and today we are on day two of our article, Building Skills Behind Bars. I'd like to welcome Peter back to the program.
Hi everyone, hi Rebecca.
Peter, it's great to have you on the program. And yesterday we started a journey of talking about this innovative project in the state of Georgia in the U.S., about giving inmates a second chance. So teaching them job skills that could help them once they get out of prison. But before we get back into talking about prisons and talking about systems, and before we go behind bars, I'd like to ask you, Peter, I think that most of us, especially now we're in middle age, right? We're not exactly spring chickens.
Yeah, we talked about chickens yesterday.
About chickens yesterday because we had the precious word hatch, right?
Right.
We learned the word to hatch the program. So we'll go back to the chickens and rooster. We're not spring chickens or spring roosters. We're kind of like middle-aged chickens, middle-aged roosters. So at this point, it's very likely that we've had second chances at life. Now, Peter, do you have an example you could share with us about like a time you felt you got a second chance at life, like whether it's in your job or in life in general?
Yeah, fairly recently, actually, here in Taipei. My wife and I have a dog, and we got her several years ago. And at around, after about, we'd had her for 6 months, I think, and we're walking her in the park one day. And at that time, we let her roam in the park off leash. She was a fairly well-behaved dog, but one day we were letting her roam off leash. She got startled by some children who thought they were just playing with the dog, but they ended up chasing her and she ran off and we lost sight of her and we couldn't find her. We called her and she just was nowhere to be found. And
oh,
that began a search for her in the greater Taipei area for 3.5 days.
Whoa.
When we did not know where she was.
Wow.
We did not know if she was injured, if she was even alive anymore. We had found footage of her on police security cameras, traffic cameras, in our neighborhood. So we saw that once she had run away from the park, she, we had this footage of her dodging between traffic and cars. She's very quick and agile, moves very fast. But where she was, we just did not know. But we walked through neighborhoods. We put up posters. We posted on social media groups about pets, lost pets and such. And finally, after about 3.5 days, someone did say, I think I found your dog in Yonghe. We were living in the Guting area. She had made it all the way over the river to Yonghe. Mm. And we jumped in a cab. And sure enough, there she was. And we
managed
to
remember her. Was she in a park or was she with
somebody? She was in a park.
Or?
Yeah. She was scuffed up a bit. You could tell she'd probably run into some bad dudes. But she was still alive. She was still okay. We recovered her. We took her to the vet, you know, gave her a full checkup, gave her some medicine. And she is still with us to this day. But those 3 days where we were just like, you know, are we ever going to see our dog again? Is she just gone for good? We had to go through that process of realizing that we might not ever find her again and that maybe we were just going to have this dog for 6 months and that was going to be it. So when we found her, it really did feel like a second chance.
That's incredible. It's almost like a Lazarus moment.
Almost.
You know, like, you know, the story of Lazarus. In the Lazarus story, it's basically Lazarus has already died, right? And then he gets healed and he gets a second chance at living and he lives more years after, you know, he resurrects from the dead in the Lazarus story. So sometimes when we use the term Lazarus, like a Lazarus experience or a Lazarus effect, it's basically you get like this completely brand new chance at life. you're resurrected. Yeah. Just kind of like the dog. Even though your dog did not die, but your dog was completely lost.
Yeah. Resurrected into our lives.
Yes, resurrected back into the family.
Back into the family, yeah.
Yes. What a wonderful story. Now we're going to shift gears and we're going to go back to where we were yesterday, where we were talking about this innovative project in Georgia where these inmates, these prisoners, they're learning construction skills so that once they get out of prison, they can have job skills. And another term we used yesterday was gainful employment. Gainful just means they can be paid. Yeah. They can have paid work. They're able to feed themselves and they won't be a burden to the state. They won't be a burden to the government. And we are hoping that we can also decrease the recidivism rates, right?
Yes.
Recidivism means that these people who were criminals, they fall back into their criminal pattern. We want to end this criminal pattern. So let's get into our first reading for today.
Williams was open to the proposal. Fry could have some inmates to work with. Williams decided. Female inmates. Williams had been looking for a way to get more work activities for the 60 or so women in custody. Fry was game. Roughly 12 inmates were selected from a long list of applicants. Fry has a truck and trailer big enough to haul a structure with 160 square feet of living space, a tiny home. So that's what they set out to build. He usually spends every other Saturday at the jail, and the group typically works for 8 hours. This is where Jonathan Sims comes into the picture. A licensed contractor with 35 years of experience, he plays a pivotal role. Sims figured he could make Saturdays run more smoothly for Fry if he provided weekly training sessions for the inmates. He started by showing the women how to use different types of hammers and read a tape measure. Then he taught them the importance of safety vests, goggles, and hard hats.
So yesterday we talked about, there's two important people in our story. First, there is the sheriff, John Q. Williams. He's the sheriff of this county. And yesterday, Peter, you walked us through the difference between a sheriff and a police chief. They have similar job functions, but the way they get to the job is very different.
Right. And they have different range of responsibility. The police chief is over the police just of a particular town or city, and the sheriff is over an entire county, which is made up of several towns and cities.
Yes. And then yesterday we also had the state representative. There is a state representative. He represents his district in the state legislature, and here his name is Spencer Fry. So yesterday we had these two men who started to work on a project together, and let's continue. So what happens?
Right. Well, Spencer Fry, the state representative, had this idea for helping folks, helping people with a criminal background to learn new skills, to get jobs. And he also is passionate about creating affordable housing options. He works for this charitable organization called Habitat for Humanity. And so he proposed this idea to Sheriff Williams that he be given some prisoners, some inmates to work with for their benefit, but also with the possible goal of having manpower and women power to build more affordable housing. So Fry saw that there were possibly two birds he could kill with one stone, to use an expression that we used yesterday. It just means to achieve two goals with one form of effort.
Yes. And then Williams, that's the sheriff, he had been looking for more activities, work activities to keep these women occupied, right? Because, I mean, it's like just like teenagers, right? You always have to keep your teenagers occupied because if you don't, they'll get into trouble,
right?
So we put them into sports. We get them to learn music. We get them to form bands, play bass guitar in a rock band.
You know,
just do things that are more meaningful than just playing video games all day, right?
Right.
So we need to get these female inmates things to do. And then here it says Fry was game.
Game, yeah. Game, a lot of meanings of the word game. In this case, it doesn't mean, you know, a competition that you play in some way. It means a willingness to try something. Usually something dangerous or new or difficult in some way. We wouldn't just say, you know, oh, here's an interesting book you might read. Are you game? We wouldn't use it there. We would say, oh, here's this radical new movie that is going to make you, it's going to challenge you. It's going to disturb you, but it's going to make you see the world in a different way. Are you game to go and see that movie? That's when we would use game in this sense of the word.
Yes. And then so basically we have a pilot program, right? So when you run something as a pilot, it's basically like a tryout.
Yeah.
So we do a tryout to see if this program works. So usually with your pilot, you have a smaller group of people to try something out. So here we have roughly 12 inmates. So there's 12 prisoners were selected from a long list of applicants. And then?
Right. And then Fry, the politician, has a truck and a trailer big enough to haul, to transport a structure with 160 square feet of living space, which is a thing. It's called a tiny home. And Fry is not the only one who is involved with these things. These are small, very, very small structures about the size of, you know, a Taipei cafe, you might say. But they're houses in which people live. And so they're called tiny homes. And he had them set out to build one of these tiny home structures with the 12 inmates that he had.
Yes. And then so we will start building tiny homes. And then we had the sheriff, we have the state representative, and now we need someone who actually knows how to construct things, right?
Right.
So we have Jonathan Sims. Okay, talk about Sims.
Right, Jonathan Sims. He's a licensed contractor.
What's a contractor?
Yeah, a contractor, technically it refers to the economic relationship that you have with this person. You contract them for something. In America, it usually means, basically it means a carpenter. Someone who does repairs on your home, improvements on your home, a contractor. This is someone who, when you want to add an extra bedroom to your house, you call a contractor. It's kind of a general term, can kind of cover a lot of things, but usually it's referring to construction, carpentry, home repair in some way. And so Jonathan Sims is a contractor with 35 years of experience, so he's been at this for quite a while, and he plays a pivotal role in this whole scenario. Pivotal meaning the way a basketball player pivots when he's deciding who to throw the ball to, but he's trying to keep it away from the defense as well. He'll just plant one foot and turn and turn and turn on that foot, looking to where he can throw the ball. That's pivoting. And so it's very important, that foot. And this is a very important role that Sims played, a pivotal role.
So if something is pivotal, it is extremely important, right? Because like a lot of times, that foot that you pivot, that actually influences how the game will go.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
Something that is pivotal is very important. I just thought about how pivotal is used. Bill Gates' ex-wife, Melinda French Gates, her nonprofit is called Pivotal Ventures.
Mm.
That's just one use of pivotal, like outside this article. Her own nonprofit, a lot of it is to do with female empowerment. She gives a lot of money for female causes. Her venture is called Pivotal Ventures. And that nonprofit invests a lot in women. Well, let's continue. So Sims figured he could really help Saturdays run more smoothly for Fry if he trained them, right?
Right,
he actually trains
right.
The women, because like you can't just give them the material. Somebody's got to do the training.
Right. And we think about, you know, tools like a hammer or a saw, and we think, oh, you know, those are pretty obvious. A child knows how to use those if you give them an hour, but not necessarily, at least not knows how to use them well enough to make something that could actually be used. You know, you could give a child a hammer and maybe a saw to keep them occupied under supervision for an hour or so, but to build things that people are going to actually use, like a tiny home, you want trained people using these tools properly so that the product is good.
Yes. So he teaches them how to use tools. And then, of course, anytime you have a construction site, safety is very, very important. So you got to teach them proper safety procedures. And proper safety procedures often means you have to wear safety vests, goggles, and hard hats. And hard hats is basically that hard plastic hat that construction crews wear, right?
Yeah,
the hard hats, right? When you go to a factory, if it's a well-run factory, I mean, like there's construction going on in a factory, yes, you should be wearing hard hats.
Right. You'll even hear the term sometimes used to describe the people wearing the hats. You know, we were at a bar the other night, and all of a sudden, 6 or 7 hard hats came in after a long day at the construction site, and we started talking with them, blah, blah, blah. And that means that those are people who work at a construction site, hard hats.
Yes, the hard hats. Well, in this age of AI, it's actually the hard hats. They have no fear of losing their jobs.
Yep.
Because right now, AI still can't build houses on their own for us.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Although,
but they can do a lot of our jobs for us.
Yeah, they get those 3D modeling machines going, then even hard hats might have to start being a little concerned. But that's still
true.
A ways off.
That's true. There are printed homes now. You can print homes, but I think there's still some limits to what printed homes can do. Like, you can't print a skyscraper yet.
Not yet.
You can print maybe a small, tiny home, but you can't print a skyscraper. Well, friends, let's get into our next reading, and then we'll talk about how this team who are trying to help these female inmates, how do they work together? So let's get into our next reading.
It takes a team. We went from there to building a house, Sims said of the progression. So far, they've built birdhouses, a playhouse for kids, and a tiny home that's being used as an office for Habitat for Humanity. Fry and Sims complement each other as teachers. Fry exudes energy. He's animated, often uses analogies, talks big picture, and likes to get his hands dirty. Sims is organized. Loves the fundamentals. He critiques with quips and laughs and steps in to help only after a second or third attempt comes up short. Jail staff, including Lieutenant Gary Davenport, make the program possible by working extra time on Saturdays. I don't like waste, and there's a lot of talent sitting in this jail, Davenport said. What I want for the people in here is something productive for when they get out.
So before they can build a house, they have to build something smaller. So there's a progression. So progression is just the noun for progress. So you have to keep improving from something smaller to something bigger. So there's a progression. There's progress. So far they started from birdhouses. Birdhouses are quite small. And then a playhouse for kids. A playhouse is not as big as a real house. And then that tiny home we talked about yesterday, that's about 160 square feet of living space.
Right.
Yes.
And we talked about it today, actually.
Oh, yeah. We talked about today, not yesterday. Yeah. So that's what they've been building. Well, let's talk about Fry and Sims. Do they work well together?
Apparently they do. And that's good to hear. Fry and Sims complement each other as teachers, it says. Complement, that great English word, so similar to another English word, just one letter different, that E right in the middle, complement. We're thinking maybe of compliment with an I in the middle. That means when you say something nice about someone, you have a nice hair today, or I like that shirt or something. That is a compliment with an I, but complement with an E means to work together well, two things that work together well, fit together well, a good combination.
Yes, so to complement each other, you know, when we talk about complement means like you have different strengths. So it's a good combination because you might have different strengths. Like maybe that person's extroverted, you're introverted, you have different strengths. But these two strengths put together work really well.
Right.
So that's complement. And then so they complement each other well. And then talk about Fry. What's Fry like?
Fry, this is the Democratic politician again, the Habitat for Humanity guy. Fry exudes energy and careful listeners might recall this word exude from an earlier article that Rebecca and I did for you. To exude something means to be filled with it, to radiate it out to other people. And Fry exudes energy. He is animated, the next line says. Animated meaning showing a lot of interest or energy. He uses analogies often, which is to say something such and such is like so-and-so, and that's a way to better understand such-and-such by comparing it to so-and-so. That's an analogy. And he also talks big picture. Big picture meaning he pulls back, to use a cinematic term, he pulls back to view the to get the entire view on a situation, not focusing too much on this particular detail or that particular detail. And finally, he likes to get his hands dirty, which is a nice folksy English phrase. To get your hands dirty, it just means, in a literal sense, you know, to get dirt on your hands. You might think of someone working in the garden. Someone who likes gardening is obviously going to get their hands dirty, digging around in the soil, digging around in the dirt. And it has a figurative meaning to get down and involved in something, to use your hands, to be physically involved in something.
Yes. And on the other hand, let's talk about Sims. Sims, he's organized. He loves the fundamentals. So fundamentals means like the basic stuff. He's really into getting the basics right. I once had a music teacher who was really into fundamentals. Like he was so into fundamentals that I could practice a whole afternoon, like 2 hours, just one line on the music score. Because he wanted to get the fundamentals perfect. So it's really hard for a student. I mean, it's probably good for me in the long run, but it was really unpleasant.
What instrument do you play?
I played French horn and trumpet.
Ah.
So I was a French horn player, and I was also a trumpet player when I was younger. Yes. And then, more on Sims, he critiques. So if he critiques means like he gives feedback, areas of improvement. He talks about where to improve with quips and laughs. What's the difference between a quip and a laugh?
A quip is basically something that makes you laugh. A quip is a clever remark or comment that you make, and a laugh, obviously, I think we all know what a laugh is. So a quip, yeah, is something that can cause people to laugh. Sometimes a quip is more clever than funny, and it might not necessarily make someone laugh, but it gives us an idea of what kind of guy Sims is. He critiques, which is not criticize. Sounds similar to criticize, but no, critique is a more neutral term. Criticize is, you know, saying this is wrong and that's wrong and that's wrong. Critique is this is good, this is not so good, this needs to work. And he does it with quips and laughs.
Yes. And then he also lets the students try, or lets the inmates try, because he steps in to help only after a second or third attempt. So when you use the word attempt is a noun. Attempt just means you try. Yeah. You try, like when you try. So if it comes up short, something that comes up short is like you're not up to standard.
Right.
So you're coming up short.
Didn't make the goal. Yeah, you are short of, you are lacking full completion of the desired goal.
Yes. And then, well, of course, this program is not just built by three men. There needs to be a lot more people who are part of it to make sure it's working smoothly. And who are some of the other people involved?
Right. Well, jail staff, people who work at the jail, of course, managing the prisoners, keeping an eye on them, just, you know, to make sure that they focus on learning construction skills and not, you know, getting ideas about maybe running away from prison or something. And we meet only one of the jail staff. That's Lieutenant Gary Davenport. But the staff, including Lieutenant Davenport, help make the program possible by working extra time. They work overtime on Saturdays to oversee that training and eventually to oversee the actual construction.
Yes. And then here, the word lieutenant, like we're talking about, is that also like a police term? Like I know this is a military term for like an officer. It's not a very high ranking officer, but it's a officer ranking.
Right,
right. In the police force? Would that also be a ranking in the police force?
Yes, actually. In the police force, it's a higher ranking than
in the military.
Army, in the military, yeah. Okay. In the military, it is an officer, but above lieutenant, there is colonel, there is major, there is general, brigadier general. But in the police, lieutenant, you know, you have the street cops, and then you have the detectives, and then you have the lieutenant. I believe, don't quote me on this, but he's close to the chief. It might be that
it's
the
a
lieutenant,
higher rank.
Yeah, is definitely higher rank in the police force than in the military.
Okay, good point. And then here, Lieutenant Gary, he says, I don't like waste, and there's a lot of talent sitting in this jail. And I just love his sense of perspective.
Mm.
Because when he's looking at these inmates, he's looking at the potential.
Yeah.
And I think that's really wonderful to look at people's potential rather than label them by their mistakes.
Right, because these are people in jail.
Yes.
You know, that automatically can prejudice us against them in terms of how we view them.
Right.
We might look at the people sitting in jail and say there's a lot of, you know, bad people in this jail. There's a lot of losers in this jail. Instead, Lieutenant Davenport says there's a lot of talent sitting in this jail. That is a great perspective to have.
Yeah, it's a great perspective we can all learn from, to just look at the glass as half full.
Yeah. Yeah,
throwing out another idiom. So when you look at something, like if you look at the glass as half full, this idiom just means you look at all the good stuff.
Right.
You don't look at all the negativity. And then if you look at the glass as half empty, like it's the same glass. It's that glass, it has water, half of it has water, half of it's empty. But if I choose to focus on the part that is empty, then, you know, it's a very negative view of the world.
Yeah.
But if I look at the part that is full, look at the glass as half full, that means I see things from a much more positive perspective.
Yeah.
So here, when he's looking at these inmates, he's seeing that talent, that they have talent inside of them that can be used to do productive things. And so we end here is, what I want for the people in here is something productive for when they get out. So when you're productive, it means you can produce. Like you can produce, like whether you can produce good work, you can produce good relationships, you can bear fruit.
Yep.
You can be fruitful.
Yep.
And that's what they're doing at this jail, to help these women become productive for life outside of prison. So friends, we hope that you've enjoyed this article. And I hope that we can be like Lieutenant Gary Davenport, that we can always look at the talent sitting in front of us.
Yeah.
Like whether you're a manager or you're owner or you're just a normal employee, when you look at people or things, you look at the positives.
Right, right. Because that's something that we've seen in the article, is it doesn't just mean, oh, isn't this lieutenant a nice guy? Isn't the politician a nice guy? The prisoners also reflect greater self-esteem, greater sense of opportunity, better behavior as a result of this. So there's a practical benefit as well as a moral boost.
Yes. And I think our lives are much happier when we look at the glass as half full.
Yeah.
So on that note, we need to end today's program, friends. I hope that you'll join us very soon again for another edition of Advanced. I'm Rebecca.
I'm Peter.
Saying goodbye.
Bye-bye.